We're here at the first ever Soil Health Summit in St. Louis, and with me is Dr. Wally Tyner with Purdue University, who talked a little bit about what became really a pressing question here at the summit, and that is the economics of using especially cover crops to improve soil health. Dr. Tyner, first of all, you talked about really how you got involved in this project.
Yeah, it was sort of a back door. I had no intention of heading in this direction, but we were working on corn stover and the economics of harvesting stover for either biofuels or animal feed. We did that. We got all the cost numbers, got all that done. And then the question came up, well, because when we did that, we were only harvesting a third, no more than a third for environmental reasons, sustainability reasons. Then the question came up, well, it would be cheaper to harvest more. Could we use cover crops to be sustainable and harvest more of the stover? So, sure, that's an interesting question. Started working on doing research on that. And the answer is yes. Cover crops will do more environmental protection than the stover actually does. So we completed that research, and then I got involved in cover crop research with CTIC and now with the Soil Health Partnership. And I have to say that I've worked in a lot of different areas in economics, and this is the hardest nut to crack because it's long term. It involves risk issues. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to say. Is it cover crops that's giving us this? Is it no-till that's giving us this? Is it something else? It's hard to control for, I mean, every farm is different. Every field is different. It's hard to control for all those things, but we've got to start to try. My view is that cover crops today are where no-till was 30 years ago. And if we can begin to quantify, when we had our farmer discussion group this morning, the question was asked of them, do you believe no-till pays? Unanimous, yes. Do you believe cover crops pay? Don't know. Don't know. We've got to be able to do better than don't know. I mean, even if we find out that cover crops break even, economically, that's a win because it means you get all these soil health benefits for free. But right now we can't even say that. So I think we've really got to press hard ahead to try to figure out more about the economics of cover crops, under what conditions they work best, under what conditions there are problems. And so we can begin to provide farmers with some information they can plug in for their operation to make decisions that work for their farm.
So basically you're talking about, though, two different studies, the one with the stover that was done specifically for harvesting it for either biofuels or livestock feed, and that has been completed, is that correct? So tell us about the findings of that.
The findings were that, if you have a cover crop, you can harvest more stover and still reduce soil erosion over what it would have been otherwise. In other words, the cover crop is a complete substitute for the environmental benefits that the cover crop provides in soil erosion and soil organic matter and all those things. And you can pay a good chunk or maybe all of the cost of the cover crop from revenue from the stover. And that assumes that you do have a market, either a biofuel market or an animal feed market. But if you do have a market for that stover, extra revenue from harvesting more stover will pay the cost of the cover crops, and then you get all the soil health benefits on top of that.
Well, and you talked about, as you said, I mean, the variables are enormous in this. So where did you do this study specifically for the stover? What area of the country? And you had different types of cover crops, and the cost benefit varies depending on the type of cover crop, right?
Yes, we did it for the state of Indiana, and we did it sort of three different ways. One was a simulation model, and that we used the whole state and simulated every parcel in the state, 1.5 million total observations for the state in this model. The second way was benefit cost. That's where we looked at each cover crop and the benefits and cost of each cover crop. And the third is we had economic information for 24 Midwest farms, mostly Indiana, but not necessarily all. And we added the cover crop and added the stover removal to the model for those farms and just asked it at each stover price, how many farmers participated, how many farmers did cover crops, how many farmers did stover removal, and after stover was $60 or more a ton in price, all of them did.
Well, now, as far as the current research that you're doing right now, as far as that's concerned, what's the status of that research project at this point?
We have two students working on this now. One of them has been collecting data from farms, either farms that do cover crops or don't. We're trying to get 5 fields and 5 years of data from every farm. So the field is our unit of observation. And we're doing both cover crop and non-cover crop farms. And we hope to be able to statistically compare those. Mm-hmm. Now, that may be a stretch at this early stage of the game because there's so many variables. Mm-hmm. But even if we can't, we'll be able to use this information to point to future directions for research. Where should we focus? How do we improve the design of the data collection so that we can get more out of it? And that sort of thing. Then the second student is using this simulation model again, and he's asking the question, for every cell of data, what is the best combination of management practices without cover crops, and what's the return? What's the best combination of practices with cover crops, and what's the return? And what's the difference? And then we look at that for every soil type, for every area of the state, and find out those conditions under which cover crops provide the greatest benefits and those where it doesn't work so well. And so, you know, we're trying to do all these different things to begin to put ourselves in the position of helping guide future research and helping provide farmers with some information they can put into their system to help them make better decisions.
Well, it seems like because of the variability, it's so hard to extrapolate that out when you've got, you know, the land in Nebraska, soil in Nebraska is completely different than the soil in Indiana, so it's not going to work the same way. But if you're doing what you're saying you're doing, you say what works best in this situation or in that situation, which cover crops work best and what. So that's good. Well, what was your main point? You finished with a main point here that you wanted to stress here as far as cover crops are concerned.
I think that today we're in a situation where no-till was 30 years ago. People began to see the economic benefits of no-till, not just the environmental benefits. They saw those too. We're not there with cover crops yet. And if we want to get a significant fraction of the farm population and the farm acres doing cover crops, we're going to have to show some economic benefits, or at least show that the costs are very low and the soil health benefits are huge. And we're not there. We cannot. And if you want to move the needle, you're going to have to show economic benefits are very low economic cost. Then we'll see farmer adoption. Then we'll see green fields in early spring all over the place. And that's where I hope we can move.
Well, how do you think the Soil Health Partnership in an event like this Soil Health Summit is going to help you get there?
Well, the Soil Health Partnership is doing something we can't do with the approach that we've been taking, and that is that we've got controlled trials on 20 farms, and next year 40 farms, and the year after that 60. And on each one of these, there's 4 replications of a control and a cover crop. So side by side, so we're controlling for soil type, we're controlling for farmer management, we're controlling for weather, we're controlling for all those things that you can't do in a statistical study. And so I think after 5 years, we'll have some real hard data from this. So that's one thing that the Soil Health Partnership is providing. The second is if you listen to the farmers that are in this, in my group this morning, those folks are ambassadors, and they will be able, we're going to try to get their stories out and why they think it makes sense for them to do cover crops, even when they don't know if it pays or not.
You seem really excited about this, Wally. I don't usually see you this animated.
Yeah, well, I get fired up about economics because, like I said earlier, this is the hardest nut to crack I've ever faced. And
it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. It is a challenge. And I'm working really hard, and my students are working really hard to make progress. But, boy, it is tough. It is really tough. But that, to me, just makes me want to work harder on it.
Well, thank you so much. And we're here at the Soil Health Summit in St. Louis. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.